you seen the episode of The Office where Michael is like pretending to like ski and he's like,
yeah, I do.
I was like a ski noise.
So if you catch me skiing across the office, mind your own business. Today is Friday, October 11th, 2019, and you're listening to Uni News, UNF Spinnaker's podcast about the top news stories of the week, each week, every Friday at 3 p.m. I'm Editor-in-Chief Liana Norman. Today I'm here with Spinnaker's student government reporter, Emily Echeverria. Emily, tell me about your top story of the week.
Well, this week I talked about parking, because obviously that's something that most of us find really frustrating. And student government noticed, so they made a survey to ask students during market days when they table how they feel about parking. And not surprisingly, kids were really mad about it. So 58.7% of students reported that they were angry with the pass that they purchased. And 73% of students said that they've been late to class due to struggling to find parking, which I think is something we've all struggled with before, like missing a quiz at the beginning of class or just giving up and going home because it takes too long.
Now that we have this survey and now that we have tangible evidence that all these people are really frustrated with parking because a blue lot pass costs $160 for the full year, and to pay $160 and not have a parking spot waiting for you is obviously quite frustrating. And all of us have known that for a very long time. But now that we have this survey that is tangible to present somewhere to somebody to prove that it's an issue, does student government know what they're going to do with that, how they're going to alleviate it, how they're going to go about this?
From what I've heard, not really. I think they just did the survey to try to see if there was a need to try and address it, and obviously there is a need to address the parking situation. The problem with it is that the number of parking spots that we have, like when we get the numbers, it includes like parking spaces near like the police station, places where kids aren't going to park to go to class because they're just so far away from any of the academic buildings. So they need to get an accurate count of how many parking spaces we have that kids actually use. And then from there, I'm not really sure what they're going to do. Obviously, they can't just like build a new parking lot because it would be so far away that it wouldn't really be beneficial. So I'm not really sure where they're going to go next.
Thank you, Emily. Stay with me because after this short break, I'm going to be talking about a recent controversy at FSCJ.
Do you ever find yourself cold, alone, and without Spinnaker Radio? Do you stare blankly at the road, listening to static, wishing you were in range to tune into 95.5's Indie Alternative? Do you want easy access to Spinnaker Radio's music rotations, monthly staff picks, and more? If your answer to these questions is yes, look no further. We're now on Spotify. Check out our account using our handle, Spinnaker Radio. Spin it back.
So our second story comes to you from our managing editor, Heidi Ortiz, who is not here to talk about her story, but I am. So on Wednesday morning, a tweet about an FSCJ student who was allegedly attacked at the Kent campus was the topic of conversation for Jacksonville College students. The tweet reads, "My babies who go to FSCJ, my female classmate got attacked at Kent campus today while she was alone in a bathroom stall. He tried to cover her mouth with a cloth with some drugs of some sort on it. Please be careful. I got my pepper spray and taser on me at all times." FSCJ commented beneath the tweet, asking for the individual who tweeted it to DM them for additional information. She claimed her friend had already filed a police report and continued on to say that apparently Kent campus had evacuated students that day around 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. FSCJ tweeted, "If you've seen a tweet about an incident at Kent campus today, please know it is not accurate. Our security team immediately and properly investigated the report with the victim and has confirmed the claims by another student are not true. Please share this official information." But other students speculated that the college is trying to hide things. There were two tweets on this thread. One said, "She said she did a sketch and they recovered DNA from her fingernails. This is crazy because I have classes over there and I'm trying to figure out why they're hiding it." For more information as the story develops, check out unfspinnaker.com. Stay tuned after this short break. We're going to talk about Riverdale when we get back.
Hey Ospreys, have you picked up your copy of Spinnaker's Fall Magazine? The yearbook issue is Spinnaker's first virtually interactive magazine, and it features QR codes that you can scan for access to videos, Spinnaker TV episodes, and more. Grab a free copy from any Spinnaker stand or Blue Box on campus. Remember, we're working for you.
I'm here with Darvin Nelson. He's one of our general assignment reporters.
Hello.
Today, Darvin and I, usually the format is that I ask the writer of the article about their story. But Darvin and I actually contributed together on an article this week. We talked about our opinions on Riverdale. The topic started because in the editorial meeting on Monday, the staff for some reason got on the topic of Riverdale. I don't know why. And there was this heated debate about whether or not it's a good show and what have you. So what we did was we compiled several paragraphs from everyone who had an opinion about the show and just have our opinions out there on an article. So I guess we're going to argue about it now, too.
Yep.
So, Darvin, tell me about why you think Riverdale is a good show.
Okay. I think Riverdale is a great show because the production quality, the character development is just so good. And if you're thinking, oh, well, it's not like the comics, then just read the comics. Why make a show exactly like the comics? Why make it at all, you know?
Here's my beef. There is character development.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you that.
Agreed.
Whether it's good or not is to be debated. Because, okay. The escalation of the show is really, like, disproportionate to, like, an even semi-realistic situation. And, like, it's not set in some, like, fantasy universe. It's literally set in, like, real life. And the fact that, okay, for those of you who haven't seen the show, I watched all of season one and I loved it. I binged it all when it was released. I thought it was the best, like, most fun, like, murder mystery I'd ever seen.
It is.
It is. And I was super excited for season two to come out. And my first red flag was when they announced that season two wasn't going to be released on Netflix. It was just going to be released week by week on the CW. So, like, there's an issue that CW picked up this show and tainted it. Because after it started being released on the CW, I don't know if the writers changed. I don't know if they kept the same writers or, like, the channel was pushing for, because it, like, changed a lot. Like, from when it went from Netflix to the CW, I all of a sudden wasn't interested because you have this whole season where, like, one of the characters, Betty, she's literally, like, having long romantic chats on the cell phone with the serial killer. And, like, it doesn't sit well with me because I just feel like these characters, like, went from being super innocent and, like, fun teenagers who were, like, also kind of edgy and, like, into, like, the mystery of their dead classmate to, like, talking to serial killers, joining gangs and running drugs. And I was like, wait.
That's the point.
Oh.
That's the point. It's, like, so unexpected and it's kind of, like, spontaneous and it just keeps you interested. That's how I see it.
I guess you have a point. I don't know. And some of the dialogue, too, is laughable. Like,
it's so funny. It's
so funny. There you go. Like, even a fan of the show will admit that the dialogue, like, that's supposed to be, like, uber serious. Like, yeah. They're talking about very serious things is, like, really laughable.
Yeah, sometimes the dialogue is awkward. But, you know, you just skim over that. You don't worry about that. And you just keep your mind on what the story is and what's going to happen, you know?
Okay, so then fine, let's talk about the story. If you want to talk about the story, we can, because after we move on from the strange serial killer situation, yes, in season two,
we come into Griffins and Gargoyles.
Yep. Season three, they mimic, I think it's supposed to be a mimic of, like, Dungeons and Dragons, but it's like a mythical game called, what is it, Griffins and Gargoyles?
Yes.
And there's, like, real life stakes in it. Like, it's actually, like a demonic, weird, spiritual, murderous game that these kids are playing. Mm-hmm. There's something called the Goblin King, I think.
Yeah, the Gargoyle King. And, like, if you, like, play the game, you get addicted to playing it. In the game, there's, like, this this final choice where you have to drink between two chalices and one of them has poison in it and one of them doesn't, and, like, sometimes people die when they drink it. That's why it's dangerous to play the game.
listen to yourself.
I know. I'm such a nerd about it, but I just love Riverdale.
That's fair. To each his own. I will just, I don't know. I won't rank on it as hard as I did in the article because I used some very, very strong sentences to describe. I think I compared seasons 2 and 3 to a hot dumpster fire.
Yes.
And I didn't even give season 4 my time. So yeah, if you're interested in joining the Riverdale debate, definitely check out the show and... Mm-hmm. I mean, tweet at us what you think.
Yeah, but watch the first season first so you can kind of get in that mindset of what it used to be and what it is now.
Yes, you have to watch the first season first and like continue chronologically for sure. And then tweet at us. Who's right? Is it Darvin or me? Yes. Tweet at UNF Spinnaker. Thanks, Darvin. Tune in next Friday at 3 p.m. for another episode of Uni News. Special thanks to Emily Echevarria, Darvin Nelson, and to our audio engineer, Madison Roberts. For more of the top stories of the week, you can head over to unfspinnaker.com. I'm Liana Norman with Spinnaker News. Have a great weekend, everyone.